No? 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. We're going to read a phrase out of this passage, but I'm going to read the whole thing and not take the phrase, because the phrase has caused a lot of false doctrine to be taught when it comes to baptism. We're having a baptismal service in just a few minutes, but I want you to understand exactly what this represented. Last week we talked about the Ethiopian eunuch, and he said, "Here's water. What hinders me to be baptized?" And Philip told him, "If thou believest, thou mayest." And he confessed, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And because of that, they stopped the chariot and he was baptized. Peter describes it a little different, but still got the same meaning. But Peter deals with it in a witness sort of confrontation. So let's read it, starting with verse number 8. "Finally, be ye all one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful and courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but counterwise blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that speak that they speak no guile." When you read this, Peter's trying to get the early church, these Christians, to understand that their lifestyle with each other is really important. Now, you would think the most important thing is what my relationship between me and God. It is the most important. But there is a relationship between you and each other. And that relationship is being watched. That relationship is being dissected. Everybody's watching it and seeing. You gotta realize there's a lost world out there who don't have a clue what we're doing. Right? How many remember flying on airplanes when they used to have the Sky Mall book in the back seat? I loved it. If you never saw one of them, you won't even understand this. But in the Sky Mall magazine were things that crazy people thought about, and the Sky Mall would sell it to you. One of them was a life-size Bigfoot that you could put in your yard. Now I'm thinking, who in the world would buy a life-size Bigfoot to put in their yard? But apparently a bunch of people, because out beside the last issue I read before they took it off the out of the airplanes, there was more than 150,000 of them sold. There's 150,000 people out there who's got a life-size Bigfoot in their yard. And it makes perfectly good sense to them. Now, I'm telling you to tell you this. There's a lot of people in the world that don't understand what you're doing. Why you're parked in here, why you're packed in here, why after a while you're going to stand out here and watch some people get dunked in a dumpster. That's when somebody asked me one day, "Why do y'all baptize in a dumpster?" Well, technically it's not a dumpster. It's a baptistry. It just kind of looks like a dumpster. And so, it's crazy, right? Well, there was never an article in that magazine that explained why these people wanted a Bigfoot. But I'm so thankful that there is a book I can read why the people get baptized. And so I want to read that to you. So he's talking about the public witness that we have with each other as we treat each other. We don't think bad about each other. We talk good about each other. That sounds Baptist to me. Nowhere. But it should be. And Peter's reminding us that. He's telling us that we will avoid evil and do good. Let him seek peace and assure it. For the eyes of the Lord, verse 12, are over the righteous. And his ears are open unto their prayers. Y'all believe that? That like God is like watching over his people. And his ears attended to us. So when I'm praying to him, he's really like tuned in to me. See, I have a bad habit of like ignoring Rochelle. And she's like, did you hear what I said? And I'm like, yeah. But I don't answer it usually because I hadn't been listening. But I promise you, God's attending to me. He's listening to me. And it says in verse 13, and who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of this terror, neither be troubled. Now verse 15, are you ready? These next verses go together. I want you to see it in this order in which they gives us to us. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. A lot of people have no hope. A lot of people are hoping for a good election to make things better. If your hope is in an election and a president, your hope is in the wrong place. Because men will let you down, but God will not. And here's the deal. You and I are going to go through things according to what Peter just said. Trials. Cancers. Surgeries. And you're going to come through that. And sometimes you're going to get a bad report. But here's where everything changes if you really want to be a witness. And you really have God in your heart. You notice what he said, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. You got to have the Lord there before this ever work. If he's not there, you won't pull this off. But if he's there and the bad news comes, you'll pull it together. You'll lean on God. You'll pray more than you ever prayed. And you know what's going to happen? Some nurse, somebody that's taking treatments with you, somebody's going to ask you, how are you holding it together? And you're going to say, we got a great president. Or I slept at Holiday Inn last night. No, you're going to answer them with the hope that's in you. Yes, this is a bad thing. Yes, I wish it wouldn't have happened to me. But God's in control. If this doesn't go the way I've prayed, God's going to take care of me. And I'm going to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But if not, I'm going to still not bow to the world. Isn't that awesome? I'm going to ask you to just raise a hand. I'm just curious. Anybody in this room has ever been asked, how are you holding it together? Look at that. And what did you tell them? The Lord. The grace of God. It's been God. I mean, I've been in a lot of things with a lot of you people here. Some of us have been together a long time. And we've went through some stuff, amen? But you know what? In every single occasion, there's been somebody encouraged, Bev. Somebody's been encouraged because of how you're holding up. Isn't that cool to see? But Peter wasn't done with the witness. There's other ways. You say, well, preacher, is there another way I can witness besides going through cancer or surgery? Is there, or stroke? Is there any other way? Yeah, there is another way. Watch this. Verse 16, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers they may be ashamed, that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. I would rather not. I wrote that in my Bible, by the way, Brother Bobby. I would rather not suffer for well-doing. But sometimes, see, so I don't get that option. Sometimes we as God's children suffer for well-doing. There's no reason why. Hey, good example, Job. You can't find one reason why Job's life fell apart like it did, except God was in control. But you know what? It worked out in the end, didn't it? Wouldn't it be great if we knew the end of our story? Nah, probably wouldn't be, would it? Job didn't know the end of his either. He had to live through it. But watch this, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. I circled the word once. The just for the unjust. How do I determine if I'm just or unjust? It's a simple test. Have you ever sinned? You know, one sin makes you unjust. There's a lot of them, but I always ask the one because I feel like it's the most used one. Anybody here ever not told the truth? See, I didn't say lie. Not exactly the whole truth. You just kind of left some stuff out. Anybody? Three people. That's awesome. And we got visitors. That means we got holy people coming to a holy place. But for me standing up here, I would be guilty. I have not always told the truth. Have you? You know what that makes me? Unjust. But do you know that Jesus never lied? He never had a thought. You know, back in the early 80s, they made a movie called The Last Temptation of Christ. And they showed Jesus hanging on the cross. And it showed him thinking, and his thoughts were sexually to Mary Magdalene. That's stupid. That would be blasphemy if there's such thing. Jesus never had a foolish thought. He never lied. He never sinned. You know why? Because we needed somebody just for the unjust. And Jesus fulfilled that. So here's what Peter's saying. He's going somewhere. He said, we've had someone to take our place, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That's just good. You and I, and this world in which we're living, is a bunch of people who can't find their way to God. Because you can't find your way to God. Jesus is the one that can take you to where God is. Amen. And he's been telling the story and everybody's like, I don't get it. See if you don't get it soon. But verse 19, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. There you go. Everybody grabs that verse and they take off running with it. Because the next verse goes with it. And all of a sudden people say, you're saved by water. See, the Bible says that. It does not say that. It does not say that. Read it with me one more time. Verse 20, which sometimes were disobedient, which once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. How long did God wait before he flooded the earth? 120 years. He warned them, it's coming. Get ready. You know how many got ready? Eight. You know, people debate this all. Preacher, you really think only eight? I'm just going by what the Bible says. And the Bible says 8. So I'm going to leave it there. Yeah, but preacher, there's a lot of people in the world. I know. You know, there's almost 8 billion people in the world today. Can I tell y'all something? All 8 billion people are not going to heaven. But it's not God's fault. He's giving us warning. He's letting us know. He's telling people, it's coming, it's coming. And one day it will come. Watch this. He said, God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was prepared, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. So let's talk about the story for a minute, because he'd been leading us up to it, and now I want you to get it. How did they get saved? How did those 8 people get saved? I know, they treaded water. For how many days? Everybody says? Nobody's going to say it, are they? It rained 40 days. The flood was on the earth 1 year. For 1 year, the water was here before it ever abated, the Bible says. So what? How did the water save them? It didn't. The water carried the salvation. The ark. The ark was how they were saved. They had to be in the ark. I know, preacher, what you're saying. The church is the ark. Bzz, wrong answer. You can come to church, but you'll never become a Christian because you go to church. You won't become a car by sleeping in the garage. And you won't become a Christian by sitting in a church pew. You got to be in Christ. Christ is our ark. He's going to get us to the other side. So here's what happened. These 8 people got on the ark by faith. And the ark took them from the old world and dropped them off in the new world. True or false? True. When they got off Babel, it was a whole new world. Everything was destroyed. Population was destroyed. People were destroyed. And all we got left is these 8, and they walk off with their animals. And what kept them safe? The ark. So what was the water? The water was a witness. Y'all ready for this? Because Cecil, there was a lot of people heard Noah preach about this coming flood. The Bible says, Patrick, he was a preacher of righteousness. So Noah's preaching, the flood's coming. He's building an ark, and everybody says, we got a nut in the neighborhood. Until one day, the rain started coming. And the rain began to make a flood. And before you know it, the ark began to float. And all of a sudden, that flood was a witness of what God wanted them people to do. Get in the ark. Y'all see that? I'm telling you, God needs a witness today. And here's a witness. Read the next verse. The like figure. The like figure. That simply means the picture. This is like a statue that would be carved of somebody. The like figure. This is something that looks like something else. The like figure whereunto even baptism thus also now save us. And everybody said, see, preacher? Baptism saves us. Look what he says. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. What can wash away my sins? I'm just checking. There's not enough water in the baptistry to wash away sins. Only the blood of Jesus can cleanse your sins. And he made it clear it's not the putting away of the fifth of the flesh. But I love this phrase. But the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, preacher, how is that a picture of the ark? Well, think about it. When we walk out of here to the tank in just a few minutes, you're buried with Him in baptism. And you rise to what? Walk in newness of life. It's a witness to people around that I have accepted Christ. I am in the ark. And I'm following His footsteps. Now, I circled the word conscience because to me that's a big deal. I'm going to confess something, and I hate to do this when I got visitors, but I got to. Sometimes I have a guilty conscience about stuff. If you're one of me, we're going to start like a get-together club once a week and eat something. You can get a guilty conscience from time to time. Would you just slip a hand up? We're going to have a pretty good crowd. How many like that feeling? You know, there's nothing like a good guilty conscience, Scott, to make your day. I've had a guilty conscience enough, JT, that I didn't sleep at night. Sometimes I had a guilty conscience for days until I made a phone call, made something right. Asked somebody to forgive me. Come on. That just keeps hanging around. Let me tell you how you can have a clean conscience when it comes to God. Number one, to not reject His salvation. Flip the page, or at least if you got a Bible like mine, to the fourth chapter. I'm done. This is my third last point. Look at verse 16. He keeps talking about this, but I love how he makes it more clear in this little passage. Yet if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God be? You see that? Judgment's got to begin with us, he says. But what's it going to be for those who obey not the gospel of God? For if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Here's the deal. Jesus went to the cross to buy your salvation. The Bible said it was purchased. It's paid for. If you were to look on file right now, you've got a paid in full above your name. Every human that's ever been born, Jesus paid your sin debt. So if you're in here today and say, preacher, I've made it 60 years and I've never sinned. Hang on. You're still breathing air. Chances are you're going to sin. But I'm going to guarantee there's not a 60-year-old in here that hasn't sinned. I would say this, but I don't want to make a mama mad. There's some 1-year-olds that's already sinned. I'm just throwing it out there. Mamas, don't meet me at the door. It's just a fact. You gave birth to a sinner. But I want you to know Jesus covered that. And you don't have to pay for that. But the Bible says that all sin has to be paid for. So you either accept Jesus' payment or you can pay the bill yourself. Well, preacher, I like doing things my own way. Well, that's good, but I'm going to tell you what the payment is. The wages of sin is death. That's not talking about just being buried at the cemetery. That's talking about hell death. For those who will not accept Jesus' payment for sin, there is a hell for you. And once you die, it's too late. So Jesus said, I paid it. All you got to do is accept it. And for those who have accepted it, He's asked you to do one thing. He said, follow me. Follow me. Are y'all ready for this? You know what Jesus did? He got baptized. Now, I got a controversial thing here. If he got baptized according to wash away sins, then that means he was a sinner, and that means he couldn't have paid for my sin debt. So the baptism that Jesus went through had nothing to do with washing away sins. It was a picture that you and I die and that old man is gone and the new man comes out. Well, preacher, sometimes I still mess up. Join. But you know what? All of a sudden now, I got a conscience. Come on. Sometimes I don't even have to say the word, Jennifer. I just thought the word. Nobody even knew that, Cecil. But God did. And He made me feel guilty for thinking about saying it. Come on. Anybody got that kind of conscience? Well, that's a good thing to have. Let me ask you this one. He gave a commission to the church. He said, I want you to go. I want you to teach people about me. And when they receive me, I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, was that a suggestion or a commandment? This little section in right this corner right here said commandment. Yes. This group didn't say anything. Suggestion, commandment. Commandment. You ready? I'm done. Fourth last point. If you don't follow the Lord in baptism, you will continue to have a guilty conscience because you're not being obedient to God. It's exactly what He said in the fourth chapter. We got to obey God. And it's better to obey God than man. So I'm asking you today. Preacher, I still don't... What do you mean a witness? When you're out there, you don't have to say one word because you've already said it. I accepted Christ and now I want to follow Him in baptism. Your testimony is being said as you're put under and you're brought back. For those who drive by, for those who are standing around, for those who will watch online later. It's a witness. And God wants a witness to the world. You know why? Because He wants them to have opportunity to be saved as well. So is it washing away sins? No. It's old world to the new world. Old life, new life. Amen. Let's stand and pray today. I don't know about anybody in this room when it comes to you and God and decisions you need to make. But I'm going to ask it this way to you today. If you're 100% sure if you died today you'd go to heaven, that's great. But does the world know it? Does the world know it? The Bible said the gospel is hid to them that are lost. The first way you can ever present the gospel is by you following the Lord in baptism. It's a picture to people who don't understand. You're saying, I want you to see this picture. I was lost, but now I've been found. I was blind, but now I see. If you've never followed the Lord in baptism, why don't you make yourself a candidate today? Maybe you didn't come prepared for today's baptismal service, but you can step out and say, I need to do that, preacher. I've never done that, and I want to go public with the Lord. I want everybody to know that I am a follower of Jesus. If you've never done that, I invite you this morning to do that. If you've never been saved, you need that first. You need Jesus in your life. If you would call upon Him, He would save you. Father, Lord, I pray for this invitation today. Lord, You know our hearts and You know what we need. So Lord, for those who are lost today, Lord, my prayer is as we start this invitation today that they might respond to that and step out for You. Lord, I pray for those in this room who've been saved, but they've never made that next step. They've never followed You in baptism. They've never went into the water and been completely buried. Like Jesus went into the grave and He came out of the grave 3 days later. It's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. It wasn't just a sprinkle, but completely covered. Lord, I don't know one heart in this room today, but Lord, You do. And You know consciences today. Lord, we want a good conscience toward God. And that's what baptism is. So Lord, I pray You would move in this invitation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.